think even if sequestration wasn't a factor, and it very much is, but even if it wasn't, the fact that we don't have an appropriations bill, a spending bill for fiscal year 13, all by itself is a significant impact to the tune of about $4.6 billion in just this fiscal year alone that we don't have, that we just won't have available to us. So even without sequestration, we knew that we were going to have to slow what we call the burn rate of those operating dollars in order to stay solvent throughout the rest of the year.
So as the CNO said last week, full year CR gives you a $4.6 billion shortfall. There's another $4 billion if sequester kicks in for the balance of the year. The cost saving plans that you've drawn up, are those going to be enough to completely offset, you know, those shortfalls? Or is the objective just to make as much of a dent in it as you can?
Well, let's talk about them sort of separately. For the continuing resolution, if we have to operate for a year, the rest of the year under the CR, we believe that through the measures we've implemented, we should be able to make it through the rest of the year, not without pain and sacrifice, of course, but we should be able to make it through. If you throw sequestration on top of that, that's another $4 billion, you're right, and we will make even more drastic cuts and take even more drastic measures so that we can again continue to operate. And the goal here is not to come out at the end of the year the way we entered it, but to come out at the end of the year and be able to say, well, we were able to preserve forward deployed readiness, that we were able to, you know, make sure that our commitments to combatant commanders around the world, particularly in the Middle East and in the Pacific, were met. That's really the goal. That's so everything is geared to preserving forward deployed readiness. But what that means is that some non-deployed readiness is going to take a hit. Training is going to get canceled or pushed to the right. Maintenance availabilities are going to get canceled outright. And what does that do? Well, that makes it harder in 2014 to be able to keep preserving forward deployed readiness, because all that stuff backs up. Those ships that didn't get fixed now aren't going to be ready to deploy on time in next year the way they're supposed to. Those exercises that didn't get done that were meant to certify the next to deploy forces, now that they're going to have to get certified before they deploy, or they're going to deploy without having been fully certified in every mission area. So we're, you know, into 14 and 15, you're potentially talking about forward deployed forces that while they'll be on station, will not be quite as ready or quite as capable as the ones that are right now.
Mm-hmm. And out of all the actions you've drawn up to save money, I think it'd help our listeners to get some clarity on how many of these steps are being taken immediately in order to, as you said, slow down the burn rate, and how much of it you're just planning and teeing up for future action so that you can pull the trigger at some future date. And I'd imagine that date is probably March 1 sequestration.
Right. Now, so for the actions that were taken to deal with the fact that we don't have an appropriations bill, almost all of them are happening right now. No conferences, minimizing travel, a hiring freeze on civilians, trimming the ranks of temporary workers. We are very much in the very far along in the planning process of canceling certain ship availabilities and aircraft maintenance. All that's going on now. We are taking those actions now. Now, they are to a large degree meant to be reversible, so that if we get a spending bill and we don't have to live under a CR and we can get fiscal year 13 dollars the way we need them, we can pull that stuff back and try to recapture it. For sequestration, a lot of that is in the planning phase right now, less execution, because we don't really know if sequestration is going to happen. But we have to be ready to pull that trigger in March, on March 1st, should it happen.
One would imagine, though, as you line up all these potential options, I would have to guess you're front-loading the stuff that is most reversible up front. So, you know, things that you can do right now, if Congress fixes your budgetary problems, not too much harm done. And then the more harmful stuff gets backloaded into the sequestration options. Is that a correct interpretation?
Yes, you got it right. The actions we're taking right now, these immediate ones to deal with the fact that we are still operating under a continuing resolution, are meant to be reversible and near-term in effect, so that if we get a spending bill, yes, we can pull those back and recapture them to the maximum degree. Now, there may be some, you know, ship availabilities once you cancel them, putting them back on, that there could be a delay in putting some of them back on, which will back up some training and readiness into 14. But we don't believe in a catastrophic manner at all.
Right. But again, reversibility doesn't mean zero impact. I mean, for example, not hiring the people that you need to do critical jobs when you're under a hiring freeze. That's got to have some impact.
That's correct. Reversibility doesn't mean no impact. It's in some cases it could be no impact, but in others there'll be some. There certainly will be some.
So making the cuts that you're doing now is going to be awfully tough, especially given the short time period you have to work with. And since programs tend to have inertia, so I'm wondering exactly what mechanism you're using to make sure you actually get to the savings you need. To take the IT cuts, for an example, would you sweep away that 25% of the IT budget on the front end so that the money can't be spent? Or do you just go to the CIO and say, hey, find us 25% in efficiency savings and hope he finds a way to pull it off?
Well, I think we're establishing the targets here at the headquarters level and letting commanders sort of work their way through that. So it's not going to be the same, and it's not going to be uniform across the Navy. The commanders and commanding officers are given the guidance. Okay, for example, you gave cut IT support by 25%, and then we're leaving it up to commanders to figure out how they can do that in such a manner that it could be reversed if needed.
Let's imagine the worst case scenario: full year CR plus sequestration. Take me through what you think would be some of the most damaging impacts that you could foresee if Congress fixes neither of these issues.
Well, I think the biggest impacts are going to be to non-deployed forces, but next to deploy forces, in terms of making sure they're ready to go. And it would also affect forward deployed operations. For instance, we would have to cancel naval operations in and around South America. Any deployments to Europe that are not ballistic missile defense related. From a Navy perspective now, I'm not talking about other services, those will be canceled. We'd have to reduce some ballistic missile patrols in the Middle East as well, and in the Atlantic, quite frankly. We'd have to stop all non-deployed operations that don't support pre-deployment training. In other words, any training and exercises that isn't trying to get a battle group ready to go again or strike group to go again would be canceled. And there's a, you know, obviously potential here for furloughs for civilian employees. So, I mean, there's a lot of very significant impacts here. It potentially our steaming hours and flying hours, even the Middle East, so that we might still have assets there, but they won't necessarily be operating at the same tempo that they are right now.